How many of you want to know the Lord like you know a friend today? If so, let me hear you say the words amen.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. That's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles to the book of James, James chapter 4. Today we're going to be in James chapter 4, looking at verses 7 through 8. So if you have your Bibles, we're looking at James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. The title of today's sermon is More of God and Less of Me. More of God and less of me. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Listen to these words. God says, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this is your message. This isn't my message. God, I pray that you'd open our hearts today, Lord. I pray, God, that we would rejoice in the simple gospel. I pray, God, that we would want to be so filled with the Holy Spirit today, God, that we'd just be ready to pop for you, Lord. God, help us to be the men and women you called us to be, Lord. Help us to get ourselves out of the way, the things we're worried about today, and just cast those things aside, God. We're not here for anybody but for you, Lord. God, fill us with your Holy Spirit and let us feel your power, Lord, as we worship with you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was wondering, have you ever just listened to a person who was just filled with the Holy Spirit speak to you or preach? Have you ever watched a person who was just really living for God and said, wow, that's amazing? Have you ever seen a person who didn't just talk about the Christian walk, but really wanted to walk the Christian walk? Have you ever seen or experienced any of those things? And have you ever seen those things and said, wow, I want more of God in my life? Have you seen that person and thought, I want more of God in my life? I want to have the joy that person has. I want to have the boldness that person has. I want to have the courage that person has. I want to have the happiness that that person has. Well, the good news is, if you accept that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you can have all of God. That's not really the question. The question is, does God have all of you? Think about it. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he doesn't give you part of his glory. He doesn't give you part of his kingdom. He doesn't say you're kind of my child. He doesn't say you're my stepchild. He says, you are my child, and I love you. That's what Jesus says to us. And so the question is, how much of God do you have? You have the whole thing. But what does God have of you? Think about that as I share this message. When you think about the great scriptural characters in the Bible, people that really trusted God, that were all in for God, some of the people that come to mind for me is David. David had the trust that God would deliver him from a giant, from Goliath. He wasn't scared. He was a little shepherd boy. Everybody in the army was scared, but he went up against Goliath. Why? Because he trusted God and he knew God would deliver him. Think about Daniel. I don't know if you've ever been in a lion's den before. I haven't. But I have been in a bad place when my wife was mad at me. You understand what I'm talking about, Chris? And it feels like a lion's den sometimes. And I trust God, but sometimes my wife still beats me. But anyway, Daniel, he went in a lion's den. Hungry lions. And he trusted God and God delivered him. Moses, talk about a guy with trust. Think about Moses. This guy didn't want to speak. He didn't want to talk. He didn't want to do any of that stuff. And he trusted God, and God gave him the words. Not only did God give him the words, but he delivered all of those people, the Israelites, from the Pharaoh in Egypt. That's some trust. And then Mary, Jesus' mother. Enough said about that. I mean, my goodness, talk about the trust that she had. So what's the difference between those Bible characters and you? Well, they're made up of flesh. You're made up of flesh. You get hungry, you eat. They get hungry, they were clothed. Mike is right. The difference is they trusted him. They didn't just give part of their life to the Lord like we do sometimes as Christians. We say, well, God, you can have this part of me, but you can't have all of me because there's some stuff I gotta do. No, they gave their whole life to the Lord. And when they gave their whole life to the Lord, that's when the Spirit of God really started to work in them. Do you want to feel the Spirit of God really work in you? Yeah. Then you got to stop straddling the fence and you got to be all in like these people. Listen to what James tells us again. He says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. James' message is one we have to take to our heart today. We got to understand in our life that it's less about us and more about Him. You see, the reason God isn't always moving and working in our lives the way we want Him to, in our church, in our country, the way He can, is not because of Him. It's because we haven't allowed Him to fill us. We said, God, we only want to give you part of us. We don't want to give you the whole thing. And so God says, well, Alan, I want to do these things for you. Lewis, I want to do these things for you. Bill, I want to do these things for you. But you got to get some of yourself out of the way first. But we just have a hard time with that, don't we? Well, folks, you're not alone. In the Bible, they had a hard time with that too. Just like there was great characters that trusted in God, there were also some that were pretty weak. You remember the story in the Bible about the young man that had great wealth, but he wasn't willing to empty himself. He wasn't really to give up his wealth to follow Jesus. Peter could have walked all over that Sea of Galilee, but he didn't because he stopped trusting God. That's part of the reason he sank. And then think later about Peter. He denied Christ 3 times. Why? Because he was worried that he might be next in line. But didn't God do great things with those people when they gave their life to Him? God can do great things for you too. You guys have been there, church. I know you have. I know you personally. I know things about your life. I've spent time with your families in good times and bad times. And I know you know what I'm talking about. Things start off rough in every one of our lives. We make some bad decisions. They lead us in bad directions sometimes. And then maybe you have somebody in your life that cares about you, that loves you. It could be a grandmother, a grandfather, a mom, or a dad, a friend, aunt, or uncle. And they start telling you about Jesus. How He loves you, how He cares for you. Maybe you start going to church and you hear more about Jesus' love for you. You hear about this mercy and this forgiveness and this grace. And you're like, man, I want that. So you start praying. Maybe you even accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then you start coming to Bible studies. You start learning about God. And slowly but surely, things in your life start to change. Your attitude starts to change. That fear you had starts to turn into boldness. That depression you had starts to turn into joy because you know God can fill those spots for you. And things are going good. But then as things go good, something happens. And slowly but surely you stop spending that much time with God. You say, He'll forgive me. Not praying one day, not reading my Bible, not missing church every once in a while, that's not going to kill me. And then pretty soon, one day turns into 2 days. 2 days turns into 3 days. And before you know it, you're far away from God. Church, you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. Then you wonder, why is my joy gone? Why is my attitude changing? Why do I have all this anger? Then pretty soon you realize that something you're missing is the power that God has in you. And why are you missing it? Is it God's fault? No. It's us because we withdraw. So no matter where you're at in life today, if you're close to God, closer than you've ever been, or if you're far away from God, you haven't visited Him for a while, today this is the message God has for you. Do you want to experience everything, all the power that God has for you? Do you want to experience that today? Let me hear you say amen if you want that.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't think there's a such thing as a coward Christian. I think that if you want everything that God has for you, you'll be bold for Christ. I'm glad you want more of God's power in your life today. I'm going to tell you how to do that because of what James says. Listen to this again. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That seems to make sense, right? Then it says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Makes sense again. Now here's the part I don't like because it's a bit convicting. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Like, hey, I don't like to be called that. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Man. So the secret to having more of God in your life is to draw near to God. That makes sense, right? You spend time with Him and you grow closer to Him, right? You spend time with your wife, you grow closer. You spend time with a friend, you go closer to them. That makes sense. So I'm going to share 3 quick ways of how you can draw near to God because it is a bit confusing. So the first way is James tells us, submit to God. Verse 7, some Bible translations say, humble yourselves before God. So we have to be willing to yield our authority and our will to God's will. We need to really make a commitment and say, I'm not just going to believe you. I'm not just going to say I trust in you, but I'm going to live for you. Live is an action word. It's a verb. It means something you do every day. It's not a one-time decision. It means you're making an actionable decision to do something for God every single day. So if I was to ask you, what is stopping you from giving your whole life to Christ today? If I was to ask you, what is stopping you from really giving your whole life to Christ? Making a full commitment to Him. Now you may answer in different ways, but I was thinking about this. And there are lots of things that cause me not to fully commit to God at times. Greed. Greed keeps God from blessing our lives. Pride. Pride keeps God from directing our steps because we just won't let Him have control. Being comfortable, just sitting comfortably in your pew or your recliner at home, that keeps God from being able to use us to witness to others. Selfishness. Selfishness keeps us from helping and serving others the same way Jesus helped and served us. Doubt and laziness. That creates this fear in us that makes us not go out and do the things God wants us to do. So today, God wants us to renew our thinking. He wants us to think less about ourselves and more about Him. Romans 12:2, you know the verse. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. But let's face it, this transformation, this change, nobody wants to change. Do you want to change, Deborah? Change is tough, right? And so we say we want to change, we want to have this transforming life, but that's a difficult thing to have. You know why? Because it means less of what we want and more of what He wants. That's what makes it tough. But I don't know about you, I want the Holy Spirit to fill me up so much that I'm glowing for Jesus. I want people to see Jesus in me like you can see a lightning bug in the dark blocks away. That's what I want. But in order for me to allow Jesus to see that in my life, first I have to submit my will to His. So the first thing James tells us is if we want to draw near to God, we got to submit to Him. There's no other way. The second thing James tells us, we have to resist the devil. You say, well, Pastor, that makes sense. Well, if it makes sense, why don't you resist the devil? Think about it. Resist the devil, flee from him, that makes sense. Well, why aren't you doing it? You see, when we want to grow closer to God, He says, we got to be cleansed from this sin. We got to walk away from the devil. But yet all those enticing things, we think, God will forgive me, it's okay. And so we go do that stuff, and then we want God to bless us. That doesn't make sense. That's not what this scripture talks about. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee from the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So if we want to grow closer to God, we've got to get rid of those sins in our life. You see, good and evil, they can't exist together. So why do we try to make them exist together? We have to get rid of those things and really commit. So first, to grow closer to God, we got to submit to Him. Second, we got to resist the devil. And third, James tells us, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. How do you get cleansed from sin? Who knows? Bill, how do you get cleansed from sin? You repent. You ask for forgiveness, right? So, is just asking forgiveness good enough to be forgiven? No, you can't go do all these bad things, say, God, forgive me, and then go back and do the same garbage tomorrow. You have to repent if you want to be cleansed from your sin. What that means is you got to say, God, please forgive me for what I've done. You should come to Him with a broken heart and say, help me to never do this again. Change me, Lord. That's what repenting is all about. You got to ask, God, I want you to take the sinful thoughts in my life and I want you to replace them with purity in my life. I want you to replace them with your love. Too many Christians today are like what this verse says. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world. We're trying to walk this fine line between just having just enough of Christ so that we can go to heaven and living the rest of the way for the world. You know what that does to you? It tears you apart. It rips your heart out. Why? Because you're trying to please people. You're trying to please yourself instead of trying to please God. Well, guess what? Those people you're trying to impress, they're not going to open the gates of heaven for you. You yourself, you can't do it. It says you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man boast. So you can't get to heaven on your own. You need Jesus. So why are you trying to impress everybody else? What happens most of the time is we love the world. We like these things of sin, so we can't resist the devil. We don't really want to be purified from our sin because we don't want to ask for forgiveness. We don't want to repent because we don't want to change our lives because it's painful. So how can you say, I want more of God, when you don't want to give up any of you? We have to give up ourselves to gain more of God. I want to share one more thought before I close today. Church, God wants us to focus less on Him and become more like His Son, Jesus Christ. We call ourselves Christians. Look at your life today. Do people see more of Jesus when they look at you? Or do they see more of you when they look at you? When we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're supposed to be a new creation, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17 puts it like this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Church, if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you want more of God in your life and less of you, you have to draw near to God. There's no other way. That means that you got to humble yourselves before God and submit to Him. You have to resist the devil. You have to wash your hands of sin and be purified through the repentance and forgiveness that only God can give you. I love what it says in Colossians. Think about this verse as I read it. Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you have to rid yourselves of all such things, such as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Did you hear those words? Put to death whatever belongs to the self and allow Christ's likeness to grow in you. We start out great. We start out on a path where we want to serve God. But then the world comes in. And slowly but surely, instead of being filled so much with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord, we end up getting filled with the things the world wants. Let me ask you today, again, what's holding you back from giving everything you are to God? Is it some pet sin you're just not willing to give up yet? I can tell you, whatever sin you have in your life that you're scared about giving up, God is going to replace it with something way better. I promise that. Maybe it's some calling that God's placed on your life and you're just too scared to do it. You said, God, I know you called me to do this, but I am too scared to do it. I'm not going to do it. Or maybe you're here today and you've backslid. You used to be close to God. You remember a time where you were filled with the Holy Spirit, where you could do anything. You'd boldly share with people about Jesus. You would pray with somebody if they asked you to pray with them. You'd do anything. But maybe right now you've backslid away from God. Again, what's holding you on that fence? Why are you trying to walk that fine line that's tearing you to pieces? Is it fear? Is it control? You know, when Jesus died on the cross for your sins, He didn't do a partial sacrifice. He sacrificed His whole self. He gave everything He had to you. And you won't give everything you have to Him. Why not? You say you want more of God in your life and less of you, but why aren't you doing it? You and I, we have to make that conscious decision. It's not going to happen any other way. So as I ask, are you sold out for Christ? When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He gave you everything He is. but you're not giving everything you are to him. You see, God's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to love him. He's not going to force you to live for him. He gave you free will. You can make your own decisions. But if you want to truly experience everything God has for you, you have to really give your life to him. Now, I know the Holy Spirit is working on people today, brothers and sisters. I know he is. And so when I say, have you given all yourself to God? That's not Alan asking the question. That's God asking the question. You ask yourself that question to God. You say, God, am I giving everything I have to you? What is God telling you right now? What is he telling you right now? You see, once you really submit to God, you will be able to resist the devil. The Holy Spirit will start to purify you. You believe that, Ron?
Yes.
And instead of telling God how big your circumstances are, you're going to realize how big your God is. Instead of telling God how you want things done and how you want problems solved, you're going to start praying as Jesus did. You're going to say, not my will, God, but your will be done. Like John chapter 3, verse 30 says, I must decrease, but he must increase. Your will is going to begin to decrease. It's going to begin to go away. You're going to begin to do what God wants you to do. And from there, the Holy Spirit's just going to convict you and your emotions are going to start to change as the power of God overcomes you. Where you used to carry anger and bitterness and frustration, you're going to know a freedom. You're going to know patience. You're going to know gentleness and a kindness you've never known before. And for those that knew confusion, God's going to give you clarity. For those that knew depression, God's going to give you joy. For those that knew hate, God's going to give you love. All these things because you are finally giving everything you have to him and not holding back. If you used to know fear, God will give you courage and boldness. And the Holy Spirit will just flow through you. You won't even be able to explain what's happened inside of you because the Lord is making you a new creation. And as he does that, God will move on from his emotions, through your emotions to your mind. Suddenly your thinking won't be perverse anymore. He'll take that perverse thinking and he'll start cleansing that. He'll replace those heartfelt feelings with something that's more meaningful. Instead of trying to please other people, you'll want to please God because you love him. Instead of being scared to share the gospel and witness to people, you'll be filled with boldness. You'll be excited to share about Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit just comes over you, you'll be able to preach and share the gospel with no compromise. You'll be able to say, you could talk about your religion. You could talk about your morals. You could talk about whatever it is you believe in. But there is only one way you can go to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said what? No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You'll be able to say that without any being ashamed. And as God continues to make you a new creation, you'll find you'll talk different. You won't find yourself cussing so much anymore. You'll find what you listen to, that starts to change. What you watch on TV, that starts to change. The things you touch, you won't touch them anymore. The places you used to go, you'll stop going to those places. And those things that you were thinking, you'll stop thinking those things. And the Holy Spirit, as he begins to affect your outer life, what will happen is people will start seeing that change in you. They'll start seeing that salt and light in you that you always wanted them to see. And you will no longer be a bitter Christian. You won't be an angry Christian, a hypocritical Christian, a depressed Christian. You will want to live for God. And when you give all yourself to God and that happens, you'll find that people are attracted to you like a magnet. You'll see that your life is full of giving, that you're refreshing, and that begins to attract people, both sinners and non-sinners, both believers and non-believers. That is what the power of God can do when you let yourself get out of the way and you let God move in. Are you ready to let God move in today? It's time to get yourself out of the way and fully commit to the Lord. If you're here today and you want to let God move in, if you want to give God control of your life and you want to say, I am tired of holding back from God. I want to feel the Holy Spirit. I want to have this power that's going to bring joy into my life, that's going to help me help others, that's going to change everything. If you're ready to get off that fence and you want to come down and you really want to say, God, I'm done living for myself. I'm living for you. Here I am. I'm submitting to you. Help me to resist the devil and to draw near to you. You're welcome to come and pray as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Josh, would you play our invitation song, please? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, as people come out to pray today, I pray, Lord, that you'd change minds. God, I pray that you'd look into every single heart of the people here today, like you looked in my heart as you gave me this message, Lord. And you help us to think, God, we can't do this on our own. We need you. God, whatever we got in, that's in between you and us, we got to get rid of that today, Lord. I really do want to feel you, Lord. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to flow without me, Lord. God, I just want to be your messenger. I just want to share with people. I want to see people's marriages healed. I want to see people's lives changed. I want to see people give their life to you and get saved, Lord. God, take our pride from us. Take our greed from us. Take that control from us. Let us lay it down before you now, Lord. Whatever we have, God, that's separating us, God, help us to know you, Lord, just like this song says. If anybody'd like to come and pray, you're welcome to come and pray at this time.
Rejoice in you, Lord. I will reach out.
Thank you, Lord.
No amount of untruth shall separate.